This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Each week you send us your questions about how to behave, and here to answer them this week is Amy Mann.
Yeah.
In the 80s, her band... There we go. You can cheer, Rico.
Hooray.
Yeah. In the 80s, her band Till Tuesday hit the charts with the now classic song Voices Carry. She's since become a hugely respected solo artist with Grammy and Oscar nominations under her belt. She also recorded and toured with fellow pop maestro Ted Leo.
So good.
And her new album Mental Illness finds her telling cutting and unabashedly sad stories in song form. Here's a clip from the single called Goose Snow Cone.
Looking into the face of a goose snow cone. I could pick up the pace, but I couldn't go on. I just wanted a place, but I ended up
Amy, welcome.
How sad does that sound already?
It does.
It's so beautiful. But we're pretty sure this song is not about a goose.
It's not about a goose. It was inspired by looking at an Instagram picture of a cat named Goose. And Goose has a fluffy white little face, and she looked like a little snow cone. And I started writing this sad little song, which, you know, it immediately became sad and not really about a cat. But the cat was making me sad because I was homesick. I was on the road, and it was all snowy, and I was cold.
You're known, actually, for this kind of melancholy music. Are there nights when it's just too much, where you're just like, I can't go on stage and do this again?
I don't think so. I mean, I think there are probably a couple of songs that super bring you down. But I think that, honestly, with that song, the saddest thing is the music part, you know, like the background vocals come in and they're humming. And there's something just so like, oh, my God, why is that so sad? Some people humming in harmony. I don't know.
I think I read that you were talking about you were listening to a lot of easy listening music. And that's kind of where you got the idea to bring in those sort of harmonies. Is that
true? There's a kind of easy listening music that has banks of very soft vocals that go into reverb, and I really love that, especially in contrast to just one acoustic guitar, you know, like keeping it very, very simple.
So it's like lush voices against a very spare musical accompaniment.
Do you ever get self-conscious about listening to easy listening music?
Well, you know, I have friends who are on board, you know, like Ted Leo and I driving around on tour, we're listening to Bread, so I feel like Ted Leo's down with this. But a friend of mine gave me this record called Feelings. And it's got one of those covers, like two people like in the sunset. And it's easy.
It's like a K-Tel record, something,
sort
compilation.
Of, yeah. But it's easy listening versions of easy listening songs. So there was a cover that softened up the song Feelings. As if that was already too, that was too edgy. The original was too edgy.
They had to soften the edges of soft rock.
I just loved it. I think because like the people who do those records, the arranging is so great. So there's sort of a weird proficiency in the arrangements, but the effect is really soft. I don't know. So once again, it's a contrast. Like the arrangement is almost edgy in its softness. It's a snake eating its own soft tail.
It is kind of amazing. They throw everything at those songs, orchestras and everything, and the effect is one of quiet sleepiness.
I think it gets, when you have a lot of tracks and a lot of things layered on top of each other, it starts to feel really soft, which is why I wanted this record to be really stripped down, because I knew I wanted it to be slow and sad and not try to have any up-tempo songs at all. But I do think, you know, you can't have like a million soft layers because it gets too much.
Why did you want it to be that depressing? I mean, it's called Mental Illness.
Well, look, wanted it to be depressing or knew it would be depressing because I'm the one writing it. I mean, because every time I write a song, it's the things I'm interested in are people with problems and people who are broken and can't get unbroken. And like, that's just interesting to me.
Yeah. One of your songs is called Patient Zero, which is about a Hollywood arrival with big dreams, but kind of everything sours and the dreams dry up. As someone who lives in L.A. and is an entertainer and has worked in movies, what does this say about the world you move in?
Well, it's not necessarily, I'm going to use some double negatives, it's not necessarily not that kind of world. I mean, movies with gigantic budgets and people who are trying to maximize their profits and people who are like, I want a part of that and I'm going to edge this guy out. I mean, that does go on. This was inspired by Andrew Garfield because I met him at a party and it was a long time ago. And I feel like he's a sensitive, real artist. And I had this moment where I was like, I worry about this guy in this world because he's really cares about what he's doing and he really is a sensitive artist. And I think that it takes a kind of narcissistic toughness to negotiate really those big blockbuster movies. I mean, he obviously was fine.
It's working.
He figured it out.
He's okay.
God bless him. I don't know how because I think it's tough. I think it's hard.
All this said, by the way, this sad music, we should point out that you've been welcomed by the comedy world. You were on the show Portlandia. Tom Sharpling, the comedian, directed one of your videos.
Yeah, two of them, yeah.
Where did they find the kinship with your music? How did they take you, of all musicians, on as the comedian's musician?
We just travel in the same circles. And so my husband and I, Michael Penn, this is a long, long time ago, but we started having comedians be part of our show. And here's why. Like, every time we would play together after the show, we'd go like, well, that was pretty good. But we both say, like, I never know what to say on stage. And so I had the idea of, well, we need like a pinch hitter. You bring in an expert. Like, who's good at talking on stage but a comedian? And so for the banter, we'd have guys come on. And then we took it on tour. And Patton Oswalt did a lot of them. David Cross did some. Paula Tompkins did some.
This was like between songs. You'd play a couple of sad songs, and then Patton would just come up.
They were like your yo man.
Yeah, your hype man.
That's exactly right. It was so much fun. And it weirdly made sense because those guys are so wordy in the best possible way and sort of focused people on listening to the language. And then they would be almost more attentive and kind of hooked into the music.
Life is good. You look around and think I'm in the right neighborhood, but honey, you just moved in. Life is grand, and wouldn't you like to have it go as planned?
Singer-songwriter Amy Mann. This is that aforementioned track called Patient Zero from her new album Mental Illness. She'll be back in a minute to answer your etiquette questions.
Plus, Daily Show expat Jason Jones tells us a story, and we learn about the salt of the earth. Like the actual salt.
And the stuff from the ground.
Right. When the dinner party download continues. Welcome back to the Dinner Party Download, the culture show that helps you win your dinner party. I'm Rico Galliano.
I'm Brendan Francis Noonan. Coming up, comedian Jason Jones, star of the new show The Detour, learns cinnamon is the spice of his neighbor's life.
Oh, yeah.
It'll make sense soon. But first, we continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Amy Mann.
Indeed. We just got through talking with her about her new album, Mental Illness. And now we turn to our listeners' social ills. Amy, they sent in some etiquette questions. They need them answered. Are you ready for these?
Yeah, well, we'll see.
All right, so this first question comes from Marina in Washington, D.C., and she writes, I was waiting in a line and overheard an extended conversation between a man and a woman next to me in which he was clearly and egregiously mansplaining to her about several different topics. The woman said nothing to my annoyance. I really wanted to respond but figured it was a private conversation. When is it appropriate to call someone out for mansplaining?
Ooh.
Probably not in this situation.
Yeah.
It's a private conversation. she's got her own cross to carry with this guy.
You're not going to help anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like.
It's everybody's personal burden to correct their personal mansplainers. I think if it was a more public, like if somebody was on a panel and correcting, the female
panelists
and
did you just mansplain Amy Mann?
Oh my God.
I was just providing an example.
Rico just
now, how would you deal with me? Let's see what happens.
Point it out. Laugh, ridicule.
That's right.
I think that just happened. Here's something from Anonymous in New York. Anonymous writes, a few weeks ago, a coworker asked about one of my tattoos. The next Monday, he came into work with the same tattoo in the same place.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no idea how to react to this or if there's even anything to be done. What do you think?
Ew. I don't
this
like
is creepy.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be done post-tattoo. It's a tattoo, and he's probably not taking it off. I think this is one of those cases of information that you should not forget, that you are dealing with a kind of a stalkery, appropriating. Yeah. So just it's like a heads up, a serious heads up, because it's weird.
The only thing I can think of that would make this acceptable would be if the one tattoo had two dots and the other tattoo, like, finished the ellipsis or something like that.
Yeah,
if it was a whimsical response.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a tattoo that's similar to a tattoo that somebody else had. But, you know, it's a discussion. Would you mind? Is that weird?
Yeah. Are you talking about your Tupac tattoo on your stomach? Yeah.
My Nixon back piece.
Yeah.
I got it from Roger Stone. You know, me and Roger discussed it. And he was like, no, man, I'm cool. Spread the word.
Well, we're learning a lot. There you go, Anonymous.
Amy and Roger Stone hanging out talking tats.
Yeah. Godspeed.
I mean, make no mistake, it's creepy and it should be noted. And this guy, is definitely like, that's permanent creep.
All right. This next question comes from Alexis via Instagram. And the question is, how would you best handle it if someone started humming Voices Carry at a dinner or event?
I hate this. It's so wildly passive aggressive. Because the expectation is like, oh my God, I recognize that song. Yeah, that's my song. You got me.
Nice job. What if they didn't recognize you? Maybe they didn't.
Oh, come on.
Even weirder.
Come on. What are the that would be
even weirder.
It must happen occasionally though that you're like wandering through some place and Voices Carry is on.
It's just the worst feeling.
Really?
Weird. Yes. It's very, you feel very self-conscious.
That's...
You want to get out of the supermarket.
You don't feel like, I just made two more cents.
No.
Or whatever royalties remain at this point.
You're in the mall, you're like, I'm going to splurge a little.
Yeah.
There's money rolling in as I listen.
Gum.
All right. Here's our last question. This comes from another anonymous. Jeez, nobody wants to identify themselves. Anonymous says, I have a friend who calls me almost every day and does not know when to end a phone conversation.
Oof.
Eventually, I'll give bored uh-huhs or even make up excuses about having a kitchen emergency. She still doesn't catch the hint. How do I ask her to dial things back, nice one, Anonymous, without hurting her feelings?
Yeah, this is rough. I totally relate. I think the thing to do is to, at the start of the conversation, say, hey, I don't have 10 minutes to talk, but let's go.
Uh-huh.
And then set a timer and then ding, ding, ding. Oh, my God, I got to go. And then really you just have to hang up. And it won't feel good because you're wanting the other person to go, oh, no problem. But they're not going to let you off the hook. They don't want to let you off the hook. They want you on the hook. That is where they want you.
You just have to reconcile yourself to the hook, Anonymous.
Well, we're going to hang up the phone on this conversation.
I'm sorry.
Very offended.
Thank you for mansplaining to our audience.
Amy Mann, I get it.
Yes, you're welcome.
Amy Mann, her new album is called Mental Illness. Don't hum it in front of her. She heads out on tour later this month.
And folks, if you have a query about human nature that needs answering, head to our website. It's dinnerpartydownload.org. Just click contact.